Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 11th of January, recording second audio of the day, and this one is at 5:35 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, earlier than usual because I have a very important family event this evening. Now, first, in terms of stock markets, we have further evidence that Japan has become the bellwether for global stock markets. As I had said before, Japan rebounded today, and we've seen good gains with Europe recouping most, if not more, of the losses that we saw yesterday. In the U.S. market, which had closed pretty much unchanged yesterday, kind of going against the global trend following Japan's fall, shows modest gains in here today. So what can we conclude from that? Well, on a day-by-day basis, not an enormous amount, except perhaps the important message that that global rally, long in the tooth though it may be, and in its latter weeks, I suspect, is still alive. Therefore, we don't need to worry about anything too much, provided we keep our eye on the ball, and primarily on the charts, I would suggest. And to emphasize a hugely important technical point, because when you mention charts, particularly with a number of new subscribers who are saying, oh, I either don't know anything about charts yet, or I noticed the yet, or I don't like some of the confusing mumbo-jumbo that I hear from technical analysts sometimes, and I will just say, remember that key point Owen made a week or two ago. Just look at those year-end reaction lows. As long as those year-end reaction lows are holding, and they are, then we really don't need to worry that much. Now, most stock markets got off to a very good start this year, and so have moved, well, put some breathing space between current levels and those year-end lows. And if they continue to move higher, then we will need to look for new, more sensitive warning signals than those year-end lows. But end of the day, when it's all said and done, bottom line, the global rally is still intact, and absolutely no one out there knows when it is going to end. But we do see preliminary signs that we are in the last lap of this move prior to what I suspect will be a considerably bigger and longer correction than those sort of three-week downside wonders that we have seen over the last nearly 3 years, 33 months. And that will hardly be the end of the world. I'm certainly not looking for the U.S. stock market indices to go down and test their 2002, 2003 lows during this move, or any for any other stock market indices to do that. I don't think we'll see a sell-off of anything like that degree, because I don't think the economic conditions warrant it. I don't think that the valuation increases where they have occurred warrant it. And I, most of all, don't think that the liquidity environment warrants it. And the environment that we are in, not just to prop up stock markets, that's the least of the considerations, but to pay for increased energy costs and so on, is the environment we live in is one where central banks, all central banks, are printing and printing and printing, and that's something that's going to go on, and it's something that I've written about again and again today in the context of the oil markets in a review that's will be posted shortly after this audio. Now, so we can stay with the stock markets, and I continue to like my favorite team, supply and elasticity meets rising demand. And then, of course, we have the emerging market theme. And among the developed country markets, I don't see any that look better to me than Japan and South Korea. But again, I want to emphasize that these are getting long in the tooth in here, and that we're going to get a better buying opportunity later on in 2006, and I'm gradually building up a bit of cash to take advantage of that dip. And I'll be a little bit more aggressive in terms of the cash this time, using some of the liquidity that I've been able to accumulate and not fritter away during the last 3 years in trading a number of these futures markets so actively. Okay, government bonds, a little bit of softness in here again today. Don't like that picture, as you know. Maybe there's one more last modest rally, hurrah, when we do get that sell-off in global stock markets later this year. And if so, that would provide a great shorting opportunity around the time we were seeing some climactic signals in stock markets telling us that we should be increasing our equity weightings once again. And I fully expect to be increasing my equity weightings in the same sectors that I have favored over the last 3 years. These are secular themes that are going to run and run and run, and that makes life easier. Now, if I conclude a year, hopefully it'll be less time than that, but if I conclude a year where the secular themes have not performed very respectably indeed, and that means on a relative and absolute basis, then of course I would change the investment strategy. But again, I look for a generational long move here in the precious metals, in the industrial metals, in the energy complex, in the emerging markets in terms of their overall bull cycle, and in Japan and South Korea. And we've only seen a few years so far. Okay, precious metals today. Well, firmed up here on a bit of dollar softening. Again, you know I don't like that dollar. I think it is going to range its way back down to that 80 level in the US dollar index. It's just a matter of how many months does it take it to do it. But I do think we'll probably see that low retested this year. And that, of course, is going to help push precious metals higher in dollar terms. But I suspect that such is the increasing global awareness that there are no strong fiat currencies, that precious metals will be moving up once again in all terms of all other currencies. So if you're looking for the one currency to hold, it is in precious metals. And this morning, we've been getting this to-ing and fro-ing on a short-term basis here with silver and gold encountering some resistance near the December highs. And we were down earlier today, but softening of the dollar, and these metals have moved up again once again. So again, I would say less than a 50-50 chance of seeing the December reaction lows retested at this stage. And for those of you who are in for the long term, the long ride, and have the gold ETFs or have core positions that you have no intention of unloading or hold shares in this sector, there's nothing in here to worry about except for some short-term volatility within a secular trend. That said, when we do see that global stock market sell-off, I think that will weigh on other assets that have done extremely well, and that will include a number of these commodities that have done so well, including gold and silver. And it will include them because the same people, hedge funds, myself, no doubt a good many of you who have been participating in these markets, when we see signs of some significant profit taking coming in, well, we're going to raise liquidity, aren't we? And so we'll see a period where I think that almost everything that's gone up does come down in a medium-term correction. But we're not there yet. We don't have to worry about that yet, but we have to remain alert to that eventuality. Oil prices in here today. Well, the figures came out statistic week this time, on US reserves, pushed the markets down a little bit early on, and then they've subsequently picked up. The one that's the most intriguing, albeit probably also the most dangerous, but perhaps not at these levels, is natural gas. I say dangerous because of its great volatility, but this big move on the downside that we have seen in with the background due to the background of very warm weather in the US is clearly showing a loss of downward momentum, but the elusive clincher in here in terms of a significant rally is an upward dynamic that we haven't seen yet. But my goodness, the natural gas chart is certainly looking overstretched, oversold, and it is losing momentum. That's it, folks. All the best.